Good evening. Please turn with me tonight to Mark chapter 6. We'll be looking together at verses 30 through 44. This section recounts for us one of the many miracles that Jesus accomplished. It's one of the very, very few miracles that is in all four of the Gospels, this account of the feeding of the 5,000. And so we will read this together, Mark chapter 6, beginning in verse 30. Before we read this portion of God's Word together, let's look to Him first in prayer. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we praise and thank You tonight for this gracious gift of Your Word. All the more, O Lord, because it reminds us, as we will see in just a moment, of the compassion and the grace and the love of Your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, we know by Your Word that these things are not simply revealed in Him, but in that revelation point us to Your compassion, Your grace, and Your love. And so we pray that as this portion of Your Word is read and proclaimed tonight, that You would continue to be compassionate upon us and would grant to us this marvelous grace that we might understand Your Word, understand You better, and love You more. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark 6, beginning in verse 30, let's hear tonight the word of the Lord. Then the apostles gathered to Jesus and told Him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And He said to them, "Come aside by yourselves to a deserted place and rest a while." For there were many coming and going, and they did not even have time to eat. So they departed to a deserted place in the boat by themselves. But the multitude saw them departing, and many knew Him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to Him. And Jesus, when He came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So He began to teach them many things. When the day was now far spent, His disciples came and said to Him, "This is a deserted place, and already the hour is late. Send them away, that they may go into the surrounding country and villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat." But He answered and said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said to Him, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of bread and give them something to eat?" But He said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they found out, they said, "Five and two fish." Then He commanded them to make them all sit down in groups on the green grass, and they sat down in ranks in hundreds and in fifties. And when He had taken the five loaves and the two fish, He looked up to heaven, blessed and broke the loaves, and gave them to His disciples to set before them. And the two fish He divided among them all. So they all ate and were filled. And they took up 12 baskets full of fragments and of fish. Now those who had eaten the loaves were about 500 men. Thus ends our reading tonight of God's holy, inerrant, and inspired Word. It seems that the teaching tour, both of Jesus and the disciples, has come to an end. They return to Jesus and give their report. They say all that they did. They recount all that they taught. And Jesus gathers them together for a much needed rest. Remember, during this time, they were traveling quickly with the urgency of the gospel from place to place. And Jesus Himself was going from town to town also teaching. It was during this time that they hear about the horrible situation with John the Baptist having been beheaded, and also that Herod is seeming to make threats into Jesus Himself, that he assumes, he guesses, he jumps to the conclusion that Jesus' teaching is nothing more than John the Baptist come back from the dead to haunt Herod. And so this is a good time to take a brief rest. to gather together, perhaps to hear more of those stories, to be encouraged by the good things that God was doing through the ministry of the disciples. And so he gathers them together and they cross over a portion of the Sea of Galilee. But rest was not to be theirs. A crowd has gathered and followed him, running ahead, literally ahead of the boats, that they could be there on the shore when Jesus and the disciples landed. And Mark tells us that this crowd, at least the crowd that remained until the end, numbered 5,000 men. And if there were, as it seems very likely, women and children also in that crowd, it could be maybe 15,000, maybe 20,000 in total. If some of these family were Presbyterians, who knows how many tens of thousands it might have been with all of their children there. And they're all waiting for Jesus to come, all needing something from him. I imagine in this moment, Jesus feels something that we often feel. Sometimes you need a vacation from your vacation. But we see here that his immediate response is important for us to pause on and to seek to understand. Because you can tell a lot about someone from their immediate response. Someone calls you in the middle of dinner. How do you respond to that? You witness an honest mistake made by someone you disagree with. How do you respond to that honest mistake? Jesus has just had his session retreat canceled by a crowd with no discernible emergency. And he reacts with compassion. He doesn't react with anger. He doesn't become impatient. Don't you know how important it is for us to get a little rest? He does not dismiss them. Indeed, Jesus' concern here is not for himself, but for them. Indeed, he invites the disciples to come away and rest a while because his care was for those disciples. But now that he has landed and he sees this great multitude, he is filled with compassion for them. He sees their need. And it draws out of him this compassion. Now we might say in response to Jesus' immediate reaction, well, that's very easy for him. After all, he's Jesus, right? He knows who he is. He knows what his mission is. He knows that his time on earth here is short and precious. And so in one sense, it's easy to expect Jesus to respond to this need with compassion. But as we look at the Word of God, we see how much of it is dedicated to help us realize who we truly are, what we have been created to do, how short our time on this earth truly is. And is it not the case that we are, by the power of the Holy Spirit working in us, is it not true that we are being remade into the image of this compassionate Savior? That part of our sanctification is that our gut-level response to need ought to be compassion. Not anger. How dare you interrupt me in the middle of my rest? Not impatience. Can't you see something important is about to happen? And not dismissal. His knee-jerk, his gut level, his immediate reaction is to be compassionate. But we also see here Jesus, Mark in his gospel explains to us why it is that Jesus has this compassion. What is it that draws this compassion out of Jesus Christ? Well, we're told he looks out on this great multitude. He saw them and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. See, he looks out on this crowd, and all of us might stand there and say, haven't you already received enough teaching for one day? Can't you give this man a little rest? Are there any broken bones out there that we need to fix? Is anyone about to die immediately? And if not, come back tomorrow. For lunch today, we were talking about a time when Megan, my youngest daughter, was in dire straits. I won't tell you the whole story, but this part is pertinent anyway. She was calling from her bedroom for Catherine to come and to help her with something. And Catherine responds from the living room, "Are you bleeding? Is anything broken? Is there any reason you cannot come to me right now?" Now, part of this, you would have to understand my children and their childhood. Maybe you understand exactly why a mother would say those things. But Jesus is not here trying to or saying to them, you have no immediate need. He sees a discernible emergency amongst this multitude. Here are the descendants of Abraham. Here are the sons of Israel. And they are so starved for truth that they will run the long way around to come and be present where they expect, based on the trajectory of his boat and the wind and water patterns, where they expect him to be. Right? They're like that neighborhood cat. You set out one parcel of food, and they will just keep coming back again and again and again to be fed. But again, he realizes these are not strays. They are the people of the old covenant that God has made. And they have civil leaders like Herod, with all his wickedness, with all his self-centeredness, with his willingness to put to death the last and the greatest prophet to please his daughter-in-law. They have civil leaders like Herod, but they have spiritual leaders like the scribes and the Pharisees, who cannot preach with any authority, who can only pronounce the opinions of the great men of the day. And yet, they may not even realize their own need and emergency, but Jesus does. They need a shepherd. And so what Jesus does in response to this need is also instructive. We're still only in verse 34. He has compassion on them because they were like sheep, not having a shepherd. And what does he do? How does he shepherd them? He begins to teach them many things. He continues his ministry of instruction. There are things you need to know, because surely Herod will not tell them these truths, and the scribes and the Pharisees, for whatever reason, have withheld these truths. And so Jesus teaches them. He does so for a very long time. The day grows old, the hour grows late. And perhaps by this point, the grumbling of, at the very least, 5,000 stomachs becomes too much for anyone to ignore. And so the disciples, they jump into action. They feel a need to manage this situation for Jesus. Jesus, it's late, they're hungry, they need to go. And Jesus, interestingly enough, as he often does, he allows them just a moment I'll let you be in charge for just a moment. If you want to control things, if you want to be in charge, then you feed them. That's what they need. They need food. If you want to tell people what to do, if you want to manage this situation, don't send them away. You give them something to eat. The response is perhaps a little bit snarky. Come on, Jesus. In order to feed this crowd, it would take 200 denarii, they said. A denarius was a day's wage for a worker in the ancient world. And 200 is a round way of saying roughly two-thirds of someone's yearly income is what would be required to feed this crowd. It's hard in one sense to get an exactly accurate representation of what that might be, but anywhere from maybe $20,000 to even $40,000 is what is going to be required to feed this crowd, this group. And it's as if they're saying to one another, well, you know, these closeted academics, these sheltered pastor types, they don't understand work and wages. They don't understand what it takes to feed a crowd like this. And Jesus, you may not understand these things, but we do. We can do math. We don't have the means to feed this crowd. That is why we wanted you to send them away in the first place. But Jesus responds, how many loaves do you have? Go and see. Go and take stock of your own provision. They come back with 5 loaves and 2 fish. In other words, not even enough for the disciples. For all their comments about the people's unpreparedness, they've come all this way, they've waited for us here by the shore, they've sat down to hear you speak all day long, and they don't have any food, and actually we don't even really have enough food for us. What follows is that miracle that we see in each of the 4 Gospels. Jesus has the disciples place these people, this 5,000 to maybe even 20 to 25,000. He has them sit down on the green grass. And that's far more than just a remnant of the reality that an eyewitness is giving this report to Mark as he remembers back. The grass wasn't just grass, it was green grass. It's that, but it's more than that. Because Jesus is reflecting the behavior of the shepherd in Psalm 23, that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. And he has them be separated into hundreds and fifties, mirroring the division of the Israelites in the Exodus as they are traveling toward the promised land. And the disciples' meager portions are brought to Jesus, and an abundance of food comes forth. Not only is Jesus the Lord and Shepherd of Psalm 23, so too is He the one who rained manna down upon Israel in the wilderness. And so great was the abundance that they took up that 12 baskets of the fragments were left over from that crowd. Their every need was fulfilled by Jesus Christ. Whatever they needed, Jesus provided them. When they needed truth, that which would support them in the midst of the waves of the Herods and the scribes and the Pharisees of their day, when they needed truth, He stopped everything to give them truth. When the day is spent and when hunger began to gnaw at their attention to His teaching, He gives them food. Here is the one who will truly shepherd God's people. Here is the one who will give them what they most need. Here is the one who will never turn those away who approach Him in humility, who come to Him in repentance and faith. For He is full of compassion for those who are lost, who are like sheep without a shepherd. And He is full of sovereign action to provide for their every need. But my friends, that same compassion, that same sovereign action in compassion continues to this day. Jesus knows our deepest needs. He knows that apart from Him we are lost. Indeed, we are strays. He knows that we need a shepherd. And He Himself is that shepherd. He is the one who teaches us to say, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. And even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For You, Lord and Shepherd, are with me. Your rod and Your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord, in the house of the shepherd. I will dwell with Him forever and ever. Jesus is our shepherd. And He still gathers us, does He not? He still gathers us in 50s and hundreds, or in the Hillcrest case, 150s. He still bids us to draw near to Him and receive what we need from Him. He still says, "Come near and I will teach you with my word. I will feed you with my sacrament." And He still looks to those whom He has called to serve His people and says to them, says to me, "Bring the meager portion that you have and I will multiply it to the needs of my people." And when we who are called to be under shepherds in His church, when we bring that meager portion, He turns it into an overflow of an abundance of compassionate grace to God's people. How great, how marvelous, how full, how abundant is His love toward us. Because Mark wants us to see this is not some isolated miracle that happened 2,000 years ago. It was for them a demonstration of who Jesus is. Here is one who commands the winds and the waves and they are silent. Here is one who takes this small amount of food that can't even feed the disciples and can use it to feed a multitude that is so large that a man would have to work 60% of the year and put aside every dime in that day to feed that crowd. And Jesus is able to take that and turn it into a feast for them all, so much that they take up more than they had at the beginning and the fragments at the end. Yes, that is a marvelous demonstration of His power over nature. But even more, Mark wants us to see that the same compassion, the same grace, the same action is at work in our midst, even down to today. That He takes these things that we set before us, that we set before you, the pastors of this world, the Sunday school teachers, elders. He takes what we set before you and He turns it into this marvelous feast of His compassion and His grace, so that we can gather near and know that we have a good shepherd, to know that we have a God who loves us, who is compassionate toward us, so that we can experience that prayer of the author of Hebrews when he says, "Now may the God of peace, who brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Let's pray together. Our Father and our God, we thank You tonight for reminding us not just who Jesus Christ was as He walked this earth in His earthly ministry, but through this activity, through this action, through this miracle, to remind us who our triune God is and always has been and always will be. A God of compassion, a God of mercy, a God who will never send away those who come to Him in repentance and faith. You will never send them away hungry. You will never send them away without filling them with Your Spirit, without pouring out Your truth upon them through Your Word. Father, we come here tonight and we can bear our own witness to that fact. That again and again, Lord's Day after Lord's Day, indeed, Father, every time we take Your Word into our hand and read from it, You are providing a feast of Your compassionate grace to us. And our cup overflows with Your love and Your mercy and Your care. And so, Father, we pray tonight that You would open our eyes to see the fullness of that provision. To see that our Lord and Savior has not changed from this day when He saw the needs of His people and was moved with compassion to teach and instruct and shepherd and provide. And help us, O Lord, to praise His glorious name for this marvelous miracle that He continues down even to this day. We ask it in His name. Amen.